Well, if there's one thing that prevents us from sharing the gospel, it is simply the fear of man. It is the feeling that we have when we see someone, perhaps we feel intimidated, perhaps we're scared, perhaps they're dressed better than us, and all of a sudden we step back and we think, you know what, I'm not going to say it to them, I'm not going to speak to them about the gospel, because we're worried how they might speak to us. We're worried how they might look at us, what they might say about us to other people, what they might think about us. People will say the Christians are pretty ridiculous. We're all wishy-washy and lovey-dovey and silly. You know, there's so many names you can be called as a Christian. And I assume we've all been called a name like that, if not worse. And yet, we still struggle fearing man. We have two gentlemen here from Vanuatu. It's good to see you here again. And I'll tell you about the very first time I went to Vanuatu, to Santo Island, to Talua, the Bible College there. Maybe 15 odd years ago, something like that. Anyway, what they do at the Bible College is there's the big auditorium in the middle. And every morning, without a doubt, one of the Bible College students would share a Bible study with everybody who would attend. And you would think it would just be some small thing in the morning, but it wasn't, because it was the Bible study, the Bible College students, it was the principal, his family, the lecturers, their family, all the students' families. And then all the villagers around would come as well. So this auditorium was packed. Now, when I was there, I was placed in a room with another a fellow who was a student from Santo Island. And it came his turn to speak in the morning. And the week before, he said to me, I'd like you to do the sermon, little sermon for us. And I freaked out. And for that whole week leading up, I had the worst time ever, because I was so anxious. I was so worried. First time I ever had to speak out in public, you know, forgetting what you do at school where you stand there and read something. I had to write something down about God, and I had to present it to lecturers, to the principal, to students, who I'm sure knew far more than I did. And I was petrified. I was so afraid. And then he gave me the text. He said, this is the text that you'll be speaking on. Matthew 10. Jesus sending out his disciples, telling them to expect to be persecuted, expect to be flogged, expect to be hated. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you've got to be kidding me. I've got to stand up and talk about this, the very thing that I'm fearing in a sense. And then I got to verse 26 to 33. Let me read it for you. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. That passage gave me so much comfort. Not when I first read it, but as I continued to read it throughout that week, I felt so much comfort and so much peace. And it was in God's providence that it just so happened the very first time that I had to preach on a subject where it was about not fearing man, the very thing that I was doing, the very thing that all of us do. It's interesting that Jesus told the disciples all the trials, all the hardships they would face. You can imagine how they'll be feeling. And then he said, do not fear. All of these things will come upon you. All of these things he knows are going to happen. But do not fear. Do not fear what is about to happen. How does somebody not fear these things? How do we not fear when we see on the news, you know, soldiers getting blown to bits, walking down the street, decapitated. When we see Christians getting lined up and killed, how do we not fear? Even when we see people getting yelled at and abused, you see in India, pastors getting beaten with sticks. How do we not fear? People get arrested when they try to prevent the murder of unborn babies. And they get thrown into jail for protesting. How do we not fear man? See, the world uses fear. It has this power to make us all fall in line. Fear can make a person or people do crazy things. See, I feared that whole group of Christian people in that auditorium, even though I knew they weren't going to kill me. I knew they weren't going to throw any stones at me, maybe rotten fruit if I was saying something wrong, but they weren't going to hurt me. They were excited just as much as I was to open the Bible, but I was afraid. If we look at this topic, if we call it a topic, man fearing man in the Bible, it's everywhere. Abram, before he became Abraham, he feared Pharaoh, even though God had told him what to do, Genesis chapter 12. And so he lied instead of trusting God. Isaac did the same with Abimelech, Genesis chapter 26. Moses, God came before Moses and said to him, you were to go to Pharaoh, you were to go to the Israelites, you were to tell them to do this and to do that. And Moses is thinking, how can I get out of this? And so he came up with a brilliant plan. He says, well, I'm slow of speech and of tongue. There you go, I can't do it now. God didn't care about that. Moses was afraid. He was trying to get out of the task that God had set before him. Even Peter, one of Jesus' closest disciples, Jesus was dragged before Caiaphas. Peter followed at a distance, a safe distance, he thought. And we see that a servant girl said to Peter, she recognized him, said, you also were with Jesus the Galilean. And Peter said, I do not know what you mean. He knew exactly what she meant. Another servant girl said, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. Peter said, I do not know the man. I don't know the man what you're talking about. Then the bystanders all said, certainly, you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you. And what did Peter say? I don't know the man. Instantly, the rooster crowed. Exactly what Jesus said. You will deny me three times before the rooster crows. And what did Peter do? He went, he wept bitterly because he denied his Lord three times. In Acts 9, we see Ananias had a vision. The Lord told him to go look for Saul. Saul of Tarsus. Saul is the one who had been persecuting Christians, who had been going to churches and dragging people out, throwing them into jail for worshipping God. And God said to him to go and find this man. And this is how Ananias responds. He says, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. I don't want to go anywhere near this guy. He was afraid. Even though God said to do it, he was afraid. He feared Paul, or Saul at the time. I think Ananias' response was appropriate. I probably wouldn't say something like that. I'd probably just do what Jonah did and up and leave. The fear of man can be a paralyzing thing. I have witnessed so many times, in so many events, Christian events, where people will just not speak, where people will not pray, people will not sing, people will not participate in things of worship to God, purely because, and I've asked them, they're too afraid. They're too afraid they're going to say the wrong thing. They're too afraid people are going to look at them funny. They're too afraid that they might get, you know, emotionally caught up in just in witnessing and understanding who God is. And people are going to look at them and laugh. And they're afraid. They're afraid to pray. George Whitefield, one of the greatest preachers ever, would preach in front of 30-odd thousand. Magnificent man. He was urging Charles Wesley, one of the Wesley brothers, the hymn writer, also a great preacher. He was urging him to preach, stand in the streets and preach like me, like George Whitefield. And this is what Wesley said. Charles Wesley said to him, he couldn't do it because of his fear of man. That's what he struggled with. He was so afraid. Why do we care so much? Why do we care so much about what people think or what people say or what people might do? Why does that come before what God says or even what God will do? Why is that? It's simply because we put man on a pedestal and we think it's more important that we listen to another man or another woman or what they may say, that their opinion is you know, very important for me to have, you know, for them to think well of me. I don't want them to look down on me. I don't want people to laugh at me. I want to be accepted. I want to be part of the world. Even though Jesus tells us different. There's this struggle to be like the world in a sense. We don't want to go against the flow, do we? Then we'll stand out. And as soon as you stand out, then the fear creeps in. Jesus said, have no fear of them. Have no fear. He then told them, he said, what I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. So don't just go to one person and tell them quietly in the back alley, oh, did you hear about the kingdom of God is coming? Jesus said, no. You're going to have hundreds and thousands of people who are going to hate to hear that they are sinners, who are going to hate to hear that they need a savior, but I want you to proclaim it on the housetops. I want you to tell everyone the good news of the kingdom. What I whisper to you, you tell everybody as loudly as you possibly can, but do not fear them. When people are afraid to talk about Christianity or stand up for what is right, God is the reason and the only reason for us not to fear. Because Jesus says, this is why. You may fear man, but what can they do to you? They'll just kill you. That's nothing. See, we've been led to believe that that's everything. Everything. But as Christians, we know that there is something after death, don't we? So it's not everything. It's just the end of one journey. And so Jesus says this. He says, do not fear those who kill body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. There is only one who we are to fear, and that is God. This gave me such comfort when I had to stand and preach that sermon for the first time. Because you see, that whole week before, all I was doing was reading over the passage over and over and over again to try and figure out what I'm going to say. But what I didn't realize is the more I was doing it, the more I was understanding what Jesus was saying. The closer to him I was getting, the less I was looking at the people around me and the people in the college and the people who would be attending, and the more I was looking to him. And all of a sudden, I started to see him for more who he is. And so it made complete sense to me. Why would I fear them? Why would I waste my time panicking, being anxious about them, when I have someone who is so glorious, so holy, so magnificent in my sights, who can do far worse than they can? David said in Psalm 56, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? It's King David. I've often said to you, I like watching documentaries. I was watching one about lions in Africa. And this one in particular had the lionesses, that they just caught a wildebeest. And so if you know anything about the savannah or whatever, the lionesses do all the hunting. Anyway, they were there eating their prey. And then all of a sudden, see, they didn't notice that around them had gathered, I guess you'd call it a pack of hyenas. And they growled at each other, and the lionesses tried to keep eating, and so on and so forth. And more hyenas turned up, so much so that the lionesses started to be afraid. And so the best thing they thought they could do was to retreat. And so behind them was actually a large tree that had fallen down. They jumped up onto that, and all the hyenas came running in to eat the food. Now, it would have been maybe, a minute after they had run in, that out of nowhere, the two lions of that pride, the two lions who were part of the family with those lionesses, came bolting out of the bushes as fast as anything. And the hyenas, absolutely petrified, took off. The lions killed some of the hyenas. And how do you think the lionesses felt? They felt pretty good. They jumped back down. They forgot about the hyenas. And they started to eat again. Now, do you see what happened there? Picture, well, pretend, let's pretend, the lionesses are Christians. The hyenas are the world. Okay? One hyena comes up, well, this is a bit intimidating, but don't worry, I'll just go on and I'll continue to do what I'm doing. But then more, and more, and more, and all of a sudden, it becomes this sort of fear that's building in them, that's building in us. And we hold on for a little bit and we might roar back and say, yeah, yeah, whatever, whatever. Well, we're Christians, we're going to stand our ground. And then when it gets to too much, when we get too afraid, we retreat. And we forget. We forget who was on our side. See, at the second that those lions came bolting out of the bush, the lionesses knew straight away, they were reminded straight away, ah, that's right, these guys are on our side. Well, who do we have on our side as Christians? Jesus is called the Lion of Judah. He's far more powerful. We should be reminded of that always. And not fear. Not retreat. Who can destroy both soul and body in hell? Not hyenas. Not the world. Only God. He is the one to be feared. Psalm 118, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Well, he might fight our battles. But what makes God different to other gods? To false gods, people who believe wholeheartedly that their deity is better. What makes him different? This is one of the best bits and one of the most comforting bits for us as Christians. Jesus said, nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. You see, God is not just omnipotent, meaning all-powerful. He's not just all-powerful. So many other religions will say, my God can do anything. Oh, but he doesn't know everything. Oh, he's not everywhere. Well, the only true God is more than just omnipotent. He's omniscient. It means he's all-knowing. And that's what Jesus goes back to. Don't fear these people. Fear God, who can destroy. He's all-powerful. But guess what? He's also all-knowing. He knows every single thing about us. He knows how many hairs are on our head, however many there may be, or however many we used to have. Sorry, Nick.
That's right.
And he even knows how to govern the most small and insignificant things. Now, if we think about a God who is all-knowing, we mightn't think that's really, is that a big deal? But think about it for a second. A God who knows every single thing about you, about this world, down to its smallest detail. That's something to be feared. Jesus said, "Not two sparrows sell for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father." He's in control of even if a small bird dies. He knows if a bird dies in the bushfires. He knows if a koala dies in the bushfires. He knows everything. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. And if he did not know, if he did not know how many hairs are on my head, if he did not know that I stood on an ant on the way in, then he would not be God. And we wouldn't worship him. But he does know. That's a very scary thought. That there is someone so powerful and so all-knowing. Why? Why do we care what people who have no clue think or say about us? Everyone who acknowledges me before men, Jesus said, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. For me, when I was in Vanuatu, as I said, the more I looked into this text, the more comfort I took. But it can still be a difficult thing. It can still be hard for us to speak with our friends or our family or people in the street. And so we need wisdom. How do we do this? How do we not fear them and then tell them about the gospel? Proverbs tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So you start with knowing God better. Start with reading the scriptures more, learning more about him, knowing who he is. You grow in your fear of him. It's not just fear that he can kill you in a second. It's fear because you're amazed that he is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He can do anything that he wants. You are awestruck when you see him for who he is. And in doing that, in seeing him more for who he is, you're not going to care what people say about you. You're not going to care what they think about you. Because it's more important what God says or God thinks about you. And Jesus gave that warning. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father who's in heaven. If we don't acknowledge him, he will not acknowledge us. Let's bow together, let's pray. Well, our Father, we have looked into just a small thing of what it is to fear you and not man. And we admit that this is hard for us to do. We see the people who hate you, we see those who mock you and make fun of Christians, and it's very easy for us to turn the other way than it is to stand up and proclaim the good news. So we ask that you'll help us. Give us the boldness that you gave to your disciples to stand on the rooftops and proclaim, to acknowledge you before men, to show the people in our families, our friends, the good news of the gospel. We know we will stumble many times in this. And so we ask for your patience and your love and your grace in helping us to get better at it. We thank you for this time we're able to share. And we pray that we will be built up and encouraged through the scriptures. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.